And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ascension is the feast of the church calendar in which we acknowledge that the gospel, according to St. Luke, instructs us that Jesus, after giving many proofs of his resurrection and showing himself for 40 days, ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ, who we in the month of December acknowledge came down from heaven, we say it in our creed each week, was incarnate of the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. That is the Annunciation, which we have an icon of here in our church, signifying the beginning of his incarnate ministry. When we talk about him in the creed having come down from heaven, we have no sense in which he descended from Mars through the realm of the moon and through the atmosphere and down into Nazareth and eventually to be born in Bethlehem. We have no sense of that. And yet, towards the end of that second paragraph of the Nicene Creed, we say he suffered and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And we admit we have no way of picturing what in the world that would have looked like. Luke puts it at the end of his gospel and at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles as a hinge point between the works of Christ and the works of those of his apostles that he sends out into the world. The ascension holds those two stories together. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, a central aspect of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I always say to people, I've met with a couple this week that had news that they were pregnant and that there was a baby on the way, and we had been thinking about death in the same conversation, and I said that the main change that a human being goes through in their life is not death, it is conception. Because at your conception, you weren't, you weren't, you weren't, you were. At your death, your soul and your body are separated, but you continue. That's not as big a change as you weren't, you weren't, you weren't, you were. The conception is the moment. That's the big one. And so we acknowledge the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Son of God comes incarnate and takes on human form in the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that's a change indeed. That's the reason we start the church calendar there. But it's not done at Easter. And so many churches, they look at the Easter resurrection and they figure that the work of the Lord is finished amongst us, and the ascension is just sort of a throwaway. We've even forgotten about ascension in many churches. But have you noticed or considered that when the Nicene Creed was put together in the first, in the year 325, that second paragraph of the Nicene Creed that I just referred to, at that time in 325, the calendar had not come together yet such that there was an ascension day 40 days after Easter. The entire 50 days after Easter, from Easter until Pentecost, was considered as one season in which we celebrated the mighty acts of God. And ascension and Easter were essentially celebrated together as one miraculous, you could say, conclusion to his incarnate ministry amongst us, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The events that appear in the Creed, the resurrection, the ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit, are all part of one continuous act of God that continues even today. But when we look up into the sky, and when we think as the apostles did, watching their Lord ascend somehow into the clouds, there, angels standing beside them ask them, "What are you looking up into the sky for?" And you could You could ask the question, what in the world do you mean, what am I looking at? The Lord of all, who took humanity upon himself, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate before our eyes, was crucified, dead, and buried, resurrected, has just ascended into heaven and taken humanity, our humanity, with him to the right hand of the Father. That's what I'm looking at. Of course I'm looking at that. What do you mean, what am I looking at? That's what I'm looking at. God incarnate ascended into the heavens. That's what we're looking at today. You notice that when Jesus first told his disciples that he was going to depart from them, they were devastated. Now, when he ascends into heaven and actually departs from them, now that they realize even if he tells them that he will die and rise again, it's true. He says, if I ascend, it will be expedient for you because I will send the Comforter. It's got to be true, because anybody that tells you they're going to die and rise from the dead, and it's true, then whatever this Comforter thing is, this is going to be good. They go back rejoicing, having seen him ascend into the heavens. But there is something about that ascension that is essential to our salvation, which is why we can't skip over ascension. Because Christ, who took us into himself, rises from the dead. If he dies, we die. If he rises, we rise. And if he ascends to the Father, then he brings us with him. If you don't believe me, you can believe Leo the Great from the 5th century, one of the great figures of that century, in which the 4th Ecumenical Council, upon which the 4th Ecumenical Council depended upon for their theology of Christ himself. And so we close with these words of St. Leo the First. Hence the most blessed apostles and all the disciples who had been fearful concerning the death on the cross and doubtful of the trustworthiness of the report of Christ's resurrection were so strengthened by the clear demonstration of the truth that when they saw the Lord going up into the heights of heaven, they sorrowed not. They were even filled with great joy. And in all verity, it was a mighty and unspeakable cause of rejoicing. For all of the holy multitude of believers, when they perceived that the nature of mankind was thus exalted above all creatures, even the heavenly spirits, so as to pass above the ranks of the angels and be raised beyond the heights of the archangels, for on this wise they perceived that no limit was set upon the uplifting of that nature, short of the right hand of the eternal Father, where it was to be sharer of his throne and partaker of his glory. And nevertheless, it was still nothing more than that nature of which the Son had taken upon him. Therefore, dearly beloved, let us also rejoice with fitting joy, for the ascension of Christ is exaltation for us. And whither the glory of the head of the church is passed in, thither is the hope of the body of the church called on to follow. Let us rejoice with exceeding great joy and give God thanks. This day is not only the possession of paradise made sure unto us, but in Christ, our head, we are actually entering into the heavenly mansions above. Through the unspeakable goodness of Christ, we have gained more than ever we lost by the envy of the devil. For those whom our venomous enemy cast down from the happiness of their first estate, these same have the Son of God made to be of one body with himself, and hath given them a place at the right hand of the Father, with whom he liveth and reigneth in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.